HBO dropped a Christmas special episode for their series Euphoria this week. It features a candid long conversation about addiction. An actress, Zendaya, plays a 17-year-old who admits to her sponsor that she's relapsed. In a nearly empty diner on Christmas Eve, the two hash it out. And NPR TV critic Eric Deggans joins us to discuss this and more. And Eric, first, a spoiler warning. We'll be discussing some events of this show, but Euphoria's second season was pushed back because of the pandemic. But they released this holiday special that's kind of in between these two seasons. You liked the first season. What do you think of this episode?
I thought it was really powerful. And as we know, Rue Bennett, Zendaya's character, relapsed at the end of the first season. And she enters into a conversation in a diner with her sponsor, the guy who's trying to help her stop using. And he's played by Coleman Domingo, who's just this wonderful actor. And here he plays a recovered addict named Ali, who's talking to her in the diner and trying to be frank with her about how addiction works. And we have a clip. Let's listen to it.
You're sick. Your whole system's on the verge of collapse. And the addict in you is trying to sell you on the same that got you sick in the first place. And if you keep going the way you're going, you'll rot from the inside until you cave in and die. Your only hope is a revolution.
But then, of course, Rue starts to present her own perspective, and she makes good points, too. And there's this amazing back and forth about how addiction works that can be revelatory, especially for people who might not have experienced it or might not know about it.
As you say, this is a powerful and effective episode. What do you think of Zendaya's performance?
Yeah, anybody who might wonder why she won an Emmy Award just this past September, just watch this episode. You know, Coleman Domingo, of course, is a much older actor and much more experienced actor. She holds her own with him. You know, this is a conversation that goes through a lot of shades. It's almost like a tennis match. And it's something that goes back and forth where you're sympathizing with one character, then you're sympathizing with the other. And then by the end of it, you really understand where both of them are coming from. So, of course, we heard him sort of talk to her about what's going to happen to her if she keeps using. And then she explains why, even though she knows that, why she wants to keep using. And she's really upset when people come to her and say that things that happen in people's life is a result of God's plan in some way. Here's a wonderful portion of that speech. Let's check it out.
Every time someone survives like mass shooting or some terrible earthquake, they always say, you know, I survived for a reason. God saved me for a reason. I have a purpose. And then I think to myself, like, okay, well, what you're saying is that your life is more important than that six-year-old who died that day, or the newborn who died that day, or anybody else who died that day.
And of course, she's feeling that way because her father died. And so she's saying, you know, when somebody uses that phrase, you know, it was God's will. Why was it God's will that her father died and somebody like her survived? So again, you know, like these are the questions that people, you know, ask themselves when they're struggling with something as sort of centrally debilitating as acknowledging that they're an addict and that it's a lifelong illness that they'll constantly have to manage. And, you know, it sounds like a really heavy subject to talk about during the Christmas season. You know, this whole conversation takes place on Christmas Eve in the story. But given the year we've had, you know, given how challenging 2020's been, you know, it's a perfect metaphor, I think, for some of the things that we've all had to struggle with. And it's ultimately, I think, about finding the courage to keep going, even when at your core you may not want to.
Well, this definitely sounds like a Deggans endorsement to check out.
Definitely.
We also want to ask you about Discovery Plus, yet another streaming service, but this one focuses on unscripted television. From the Food Channel to TLC's reality shows like 90 Day Fiancé, do you think that that will be enough of a draw?
It, you know, it's hard to tell. I'm always surprised by the popularity of some of these shows. I'm not particularly a fan of these kinds of docuseries that are focused on people who engage to get married after 90 days or they're morbidly obese. In some ways, it feels like a televised freak show. But Discovery is banking on the popularity of these shows And they understand that the competition for people who watched traditional television is moving to our personal devices. And so if you don't have a robust streaming service to capture those eyeballs, you're going to be behind the eight ball. The competition is just going to be brutal this next year. HBO Max is going to have all of Warner Brothers' movies on their service the same day that they open in theaters. And Disney Plus is stepping up with an amazing amount of original material. The streaming wars are going to kick into high gear next year. And I just think Discovery Plus is going to be on the rear end of that competition.
Well, that's the word from NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Thank you so much, as always.
Thank you for having me.